Welcome to the Decisions That Matter podcast, where we meet with leaders from across the procurement community to discuss innovative and strategic ideas. Because when it comes to procurement, every decision matters. Hello, and welcome to Decisions That Matter, a procurated podcast. This episode is presented by Gordian. From construction planning and building to facility operations, Gordian empowers their customers to overcome their business challenges by delivering critical data, innovative technology, and extraordinary services. This discussion between Gordian's Dan Cook and Procurated's David Yarkin dives into the details of job order contracting, or JOC, and how that process can save governments and agencies both time and money. And they also discuss the importance of building ongoing relationships between governments and suppliers. That, along with much, much more, this is a great episode, and I really hope you enjoy.
Hello, I'm here today with Dan Cook, General Manager and Vice President of State, Local, and Education for Gordian. Welcome, Dan.
Thanks, David. Good to be here.
Thanks for coming. So really excited to talk with you today about Gordian, about your career, about job order contracting, and how that can help the procurement community. Let's get started. Tell me a little bit about Gordian. What does Gordian do?
So Gordian started by a gentleman named Harry Mellon with the idea of bringing a procurement method called job order contracting out into the public. He invented this system when he was in the military, and upon retiring, thought it'd be a great idea for government clients to use the same sort of procurement method. So he launched Gordian Group, and we've been at it for over 30 years now. We have a specialty in the pre-construction activities, planning, estimating, and procurement are our three sweet spots that Gordian specializes in now.
Great. And I think we'll talk about all three of those and about JOC. Tell me, what do you do at Gordian?
My role, like you said, is a general manager over the state, local, and education. So I oversee both the business development and the operational side of our business with our hundreds of clients across the country, from California to New York. We do have a couple in Canada as well.
Great. So let's dive into this job order contracting concept, because I know it's something that's been used fairly widely within public procurement, but I'm sure some of our listeners aren't familiar with it. So maybe give us a baseline definition of what it is and what's the problem it's trying to solve.
At its core, JOC or job order contracting, it's an indefinite quantity construction contract. So through one competitive solicitation, you can get a series of construction projects done underneath one master contract. And the way we go about that is we assemble a catalog of preset construction prices. So it's everything from how much does it cost to paint a wall, to put up drywall, different types of roofings, sidewalks. So all different types of construction tasks are given a set of predetermined unit prices. Then we put that out to bid in the marketplace and the contracting community. That's the basis of the competition. So unlike a traditional bid where we exactly spell out what the scope of work is going to be, we don't actually spec out just individual projects. We just say this is going to be the basis of pricing for our projects once we know what they're going to be. So you go through one competitive bidding process, but the advantage of any IDIQ type contract is you can get a series of small projects done underneath that master contract. So if you have 50 jobs done throughout a year, that's 49 less you had to do individual solicitation. So so with that comes a lot of efficiency and cost savings in the actual procurement side. It's also going to give you a little bit better control over the relationship that you have with the contractors who really have a vested interest to deliver good services, because what they're shooting for is the next job and the next job and the next job. They like to get as much work as they can underneath the contract, and they know the way they do that is by making the owners happy.
I did an interview a few months ago with Kurt Topper from Pennsylvania, who I know you've done some work with, and we were talking about some of the big mega trends that are going to affect the procurement industry. And it seems like from the way you talked about JOC, that Gordian has a pretty good, sort of way of being a resource on both of these. So the first one, I think we all believe that, there's probably going to be some significant layoffs and furloughs, at least hiring freezes within the ranks of government, and particularly in procurement. Knowing that government procurement offices are going to be very short staffed, I believe, in the coming months, in the coming years, Does the JOC solution that you described sort of make it easier for a government to be able to get all of its construction and maintenance and repair jobs done? Or is that a selling point?
Yeah, definitely. This is meant to be another tool in the toolbox. This is not meant to be the sole procurement source for all things construction. But for that pool of projects that it's right for, it can reduce the number of times that procurement officer is going to need to do a solicitation. I know your audience is primarily procurement people, but it's more than that, you know, because the shortages in the work staffs is not just going to be on the procurement side. At the end of the day, you know, somebody needs to walk that job along with the contractor. Somebody needs to develop that scope of work. When you get into construction, somebody needs to inspect the work, and there's shortages there too. And one of the things about, you know, our model is it works well with flexible staffing. So if they, you know, there's a certain influx of work that comes through, but there's not the project managers at the clients, we can provide them.
I know there's been a lot of talk about, you know, what happens in 2021 with trying to restart the economy, you know, maybe a stimulus bill like we saw after the Great Recession in 2008. How does job order contracting help a government customer when, you know, there's a push to try to get more jobs done?
Yeah. So right with the term in 2008 is right. We all talked about shovel ready projects and the idea with, you know, any sort of job order contracting or indefinite quantity contract really lends itself to that, because you can have this contract already put in place. One thing that is universal is uncertainty as to, you know, what it means for people's budgets. A JOC contract allows a lot of flexibility. You can have these contracts usually have a very small minimum contract threshold, but a much larger potential maximum contract. So that allows the flexibility that if you have these contracts in place and then funding were to be there, agencies can do it. And it allows them to really get projects out a lot faster by doing the procurement upfront.
And I think a third sort of major theme and major development that I think we expect to see a lot of next year comes out of the wake of the BLM protests that we saw throughout the country and over the summer. And a greater push, I believe, in terms of diversity, equity, and inclusion in contracting as we get into the new year. How does a greater push for supplier diversity work in a JOC environment?
So what we see is on each one of the JOC contracts, talked about it being a performance-based contract where contractors have a vested interest in performing good quality work. Well, they also have a vested interest in meeting whatever the goals that the public agency sets up. And one of the ways that they get future work is by meeting those goals. And if they fail to deliver on any of the goals that were set in the contract, that's, you know, a mark against them and a reason for the agencies to look to other contracting vehicles or other contractors within that. I think we are going to hopefully see an increase in the number of agencies where that's established up front in the contract that, hey, either in the contract award or in the evaluation process, it's one of the things that they're going to look hard at is, you know, how are the contractors, the general contractors that are holding the prime contract themselves, are they representing a broad span of diverse businesses? And then as they reach down into their subcontracting community, how are they doing? And are they doing the proper outreach to make sure that we get diverse businesses getting the subcontracting opportunities?
I always think it's, you know, the best procurement officials that I've had the pleasure of working with or working for over the years are the ones who can sort of see around the corner and be able to, in some ways, read tea leaves and predict what's going to happen in the future and then be prepared for it, have a game plan on how they're going to solve the challenge, as opposed to it happening and then having a lot of meetings to try to figure it out. And I think, you know, on these three big topics, you know, a progressive procurement official can think about them. And as they're thinking about how they're going to get their construction work done, Gordian seems like it'd be a really good tool in the toolbox on all three of those.
Yeah.
Let me dive into some questions that I had about JOC that I've heard from people in government through the years. I think one is just sort of around the definition of, like, what does Gordian do? And you touched on this a little bit versus a general contractor. My sense is that Gordian doesn't actually pave roads itself or do any demolition itself. Tell me about that relationship between exactly what you do versus a GC.
Yeah, the line I always like to use, you know, half joking, is like, Gordian, we don't do any actual work. We're not the JOC contractors. We're not the ones who are actually performing the work. You know, we work with the public agencies to put in place contracts that will them. So what we really, you know, the sort of expertise and what we bring to the table is, you know, in three different buckets. It's the data, you know. So first and foremost, like, we have a construction data like nobody else in the industry has. So you have to have data around roadways and bridges, and then you can work for wastewater treatment plants, which are incredibly specialized, construction equipment that's going into those. And then you have, schools and housing authorities, housing authorities where all of a sudden you have residential grade versus commercial grade. So you really need to know what the portfolio of work is going to be so you can customize the data and bid the contracts appropriately. That's really what Gordian does, is we have a whole team of people that are constantly working behind the scenes to make sure that that data is, updated and accurate to the point where it would never make sense for a public agency to try to, bring that expertise in-house. And then the second part is we have software really built for job order contracting. And we also have software for planning, strategic planning. So these sort of pre-construction activities. And then we have expertise. We have people who know how to set up job order contracting programs. What are best practices on how do you handle insurance? How do you handle bonding? How do you handle liquidated damages?
One question that we hear, I think, a lot about JOC is, what's the right project size to use JOC? Is there a ceiling? Is there a floor?
So really for this one, you need to look in your whatever the local statutes are. There are places where there are contract limits that could be in the hundreds of thousands of dollars to other places where it's unlimited. And we will see multi-million dollar projects go through job order contracting. We see about nationwide an average project size of around $100,000. But like I said, it varies by agency on uses. If they're using it for maintenance and operation projects, that can be much lower than that. If they're using it for large capital construction projects, it can be much larger than that. We've been successful with projects that have gone out to bid, larger capital construction projects, and for whatever reason, the bids are coming in significantly higher than the owner's estimate. They bring those into job order contracting, and we can usually, and in many cases, we can significantly beat whatever the competitively bid price is. So it's really going to be about what's best for the agency.
You're talking about that sweet spot, those sort of $100,000 jobs. Yeah. Or even smaller, but really doesn't make a lot of sense to go and do your own unique bid each time you're doing these jobs over and over again.
Right.
I'm just curious, have you guys ever done any analysis around sort of the time savings when you do JOC? Like, how much shorter is it to do JOC than to do your own bid?
It's going to depend on the agency. We've seen some of our clients where a bidding process can take 14 months. There are more bureaucratic agencies that we've worked in where their standard bidding process from the time of project conception till they actually have an awarded contract, it can be over a year. We look at our average project size, we gun for between 3 to 5 weeks.
There's so many benefits, as you were talking about them, to JOC, from time savings, getting projects done faster, less sort of reliance on existing staff, diversity, holding suppliers accountable, so many different things. If you had to pick one, it's maybe like picking your favorite child, but if you had to pick one, which of those sort of resonates the most to you and to your customers?
When it's working well, I think the partnering relationship, the removal, going back to when Harry invented this, is one of his real goals was to cut down on the adversarial relationship that happens in construction between the contractor and the owner. And so when you really, when you see job order contracting working well and you see a public agency able to reach out to a contractor for help, because that's what they're doing, and develop that scope of work together to work through that scope, to work through the budget, to come to an agreement. I think that is the part that excites me the most, is when you see what has really become a very, can at times be a very contentious adversarial relationship, become a partnering relationship that, it's a cliche, but really becomes a win-win for all parties. The contractor is successful. They're able to get the work done, which is what they want to do at a fair and reasonable price. And the public agency is able to do that at a fair and reasonable price in a shorter period of time span. I think that's the part that really excites me more than anything, is that sort of partnership that can come out of job order contracting.
If you think back on your long career at Gordian, is there sort of a project that stands out to you as particularly significant and impactful, maybe where that partnership really played out to the fullest?
There's a couple clients that are always meaningful to me, like housing authorities in general, because at the end, these are people's homes, right? There's nothing more personal than that. Simple things like park benches outside of housing authorities become really meaningful to people because it's their home. So, and when you can, turn units over in a fresh coat of paint and renovate somebody's kitchens, those are personal. So I think those are ones. And I think the same would be true of schools. Anytime you can you know, you can renovate a school and you can see the principal and the teacher's reactions to nicely renovated classroom, like just the joy that can bring. Those are really meaningful things, good to be a part of.
Sounds like a mission is a big part of the company.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun, you know. I went into construction because I like to see things get built, you know, and it's the fact that it gets built in on the public sector primarily. And you know, these are things that people get great use out of and joy of in little small doses. We're not building sports stadiums or giant hotel resorts, but these are little things that get used every day. And that's very meaningful.
How long have you been at Gordian?
So it's 22 and a half years. So
have you seen either the company or sort of Jock evolve a lot over that time, or has it been fairly consistent?
I think the core tenets of Jock haven't changed much. Our data has gotten much more robust and better. Jock, when I started with Gordian, was seen as new and experimental and would get lumped in as sort of the cutting edge. But I think now everybody understands the value of having some sort of IDIQ contract. You know, a lot of agencies are doing job order contracting, so it's not seen as new. It's proven.
What do you recommend is the best way to, you know, to get started with Jock?
We have a lot of information on our website. So you can go to gordian.com and look for some of the information there. There's some good explainer videos that talk a little bit more detailed about how we implement job order contracting. So you can see some case studies of some of the like agencies that have used job order contracting successful. And then if it sounds like something that could work for the agency, just, you know, fill out the contact information there, and we'd love to talk about job order contracting or any of our other solutions with any sort of public agency out there.
You want to talk for a minute about the other offerings that Gordian has beyond job order contracting?
So Gordian purchased RS Means, geez, now 6-7 years ago. And RS Means has been around for a long time and is really the industry leader in construction data and estimating. It's the, you know, it's the primary tool that engineers use for estimating construction data. So there's a natural alignment there between what we do in construction cost data. And then we also have a side of the business that focuses around planning. These are not just FCAs or facility conditions assessments. It's really about taking the data that can come out of the facilities assessments and helping put together a strategic plan. So IDIQ contracts like Jock are great because it allows agencies to do any sort of project that comes up. But what's even better is when you actually plan out the work, as we find with that's a problem where a lot of agencies can fall down, is they might have these type of contracts, but there's not a lot of strategic thought as to how do we do this. And typically, when you look at what the backlog of projects are, it's usually significantly larger than whatever the annual budget is. So you're going to have to prioritize on projects. You also need to know when emergency projects come up and you need to bump something off the list, how are you going to prioritize to do it? So we have a lot of focus on that. Like I said, the pre-construction is what we sort of see our core competencies are.
Very good. Well, Dan, thanks so much for joining us today and for really helping us understand the ins and outs of job order contracting and Gordian. Really appreciate your time and look forward to hearing about more successes down the road.
Great, David. It's great talking with you.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Decisions That Matter. This podcast is brought to you by Procurated, the leading supplier evaluation tool for procurement professionals across the U.S. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you prefer to listen. See you again next time.